Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Sort of a mutual decision, as McCarthy wanted more time, meaning more years. It didn't really have to do with money, and Jerry didn't want to commit. So they part ways, and they put out a statement throughout Mike's career, and they talk about all the good things that he did, and he did do a lot of good things.
I just wasn't prepared to give him 2 years.
Yeah. Keep going, because it was more than that.
Four years.
And by the way, if I'm Mike McCarthy, I agree with this, because I think to fix what's wrong with the Cowboys, and you're about to pay a couple other guys. So you're going to be maxed out, Mike. You're going to pay your quarterback. You're going to pay Micah. You just paid CeeDee Lamb. They've got some other things. And so here's the thing that I want to say about this whole ordeal. All of a sudden now, Kellen Moore is the guy that is being rumored that the Cowboys want to bring in.
Who was there back in – okay, all right.
He's currently the offensive coordinator for the Eagles.
Get more out of Dak with him? He was already there.
He was already there.
See, what is the line from True Detective? Time is a flat circle. That's kind of the Cowboys, literally. Decision after decision. My only beef with McCarthy is he's 1-3. He was 10-8 in the playoffs in Green Bay. He's 1-3 in Dallas. So I guess if you're the Bears, he would bring stability. You know, and certainly could figure out, you know, Caleb Williams and get him where he needs to be. Because
yeah.
You got that's the face of the franchise. You got to get him right. But I just don't think McCarthy's all that hot a prospect either way. Either to stay in Dallas or if I was going to hire him somewhere else.
I do because he's worked with quarterbacks. And I think a lot of teams, that's what they want now. And look, I'm not saying the Bears are going to hire him. But I do think he's an interesting prospect because he understands the process. And right. So... do you hire a guy like McCarthy who, and I mentioned this earlier, Mike, going back to when he first got into coaching, his first quarterback coaching job was with Joe Montana with the Kansas City Chiefs. It goes all the way back. And then you talk about his time in Green Bay with Favre and Aaron Rodgers, and then now with Dak. You go, wait a minute, he gets that. I think some organizations that's attractive to. And then what's his staff going to look like? Because that's the other part of this. So,
well, I mean, look, I'm just saying if – now, if I was an owner, I'd be firing everybody. I'd be probably, like, worse than, you know, Tepper up in Charlotte. But, I mean, just after you lost that game to the Packers, you lost to
Exactly.
It just – I don't understand how he didn't fire him there. And then Jerry gave you all that rigmarole. Then, of course, once Dak gets hurt, it's a moot point. The season is lost. But what you need is, in a nutshell, to bring a guy in who can get Dak over the finish line in the playoffs. And to bring a guy that was with him as part of those postseason failures to be your head coach, it's more the same if you bring Kellen Moore in.
Well, and here's the thing. Are they asking Dak? Because Dak's saying,
well,
you know
gave him $60 million. You might as well see what he wants to do, right?
That's exactly right. And Dak's saying, you know what? I had a really good relationship with Kellen Moore. Why don't we talk him? And I also heard, you know, I've heard Jason Witten. And I'm like, when has Jason Witten led a team?
What?
Yes.
Oh, come on. They tried him in a booth. I saw him in a booth once. I don't want to see him on the side.
I'm just saying, like, this is all the Cowboy connection stuff that's going on.
Cut the cord.
I'm with you. So that's out there. And all these OCs, by the way, whether it's Kingsbury, whether it's Moore or Joe Brady, these are the names you'll hear now for the Cowboys job because, to your point, bringing in a guy
that
can work with
that. That one that makes sense to me is be Kingsbury. Get the most out of Dak. Now, you just said it. Salary cap concerns aside. You know, Kingsbury kind of fits nicely into that soap opera, I would think.
Yes.
Ben Johnson, by the way, has been linked to the Raiders. We found out earlier today in Guy Talk, it was an article from the LA, the Vegas paper, saying that that basically Mark Davis was kind of like on the fence but non-committal when as far as Antonio Pierce coming back. And then Tom Brady gave him the push, and the same went for Telesco, the general manager. Brady said he's got a clean house.
Crazy. Because, again... is he getting full autonomy to make those calls? That's what you're curious about with Brady. I thought he might just give advice, But it sounds like whatever he says, Mark Davis is going to try to do. We got to mention a really cool story, and then we're going to hear from Mark Raimondi coming up. We're going to talk more about Jimmy Lake being let go after one season over the weekend. But this is a cool story.
Man, could you imagine if you're a kid who's going to Chamblee High School? Could you imagine? You got Ed Reed coming in to be your offensive coordinator, one of the greatest defensive players to ever dress out, Hall of Famer. Obviously, got a little sideways in his brief college coaching career. But Ed Reed is coming in to be the offensive coordinator for Chamblee High. How awesome is that?
It's incredible. And Ed Reed, eight-time All-Pro, Hall of Famer, and Mike, Super Bowl champion, one of the best to ever do it. And for those who don't know, obviously he lives here in the A, but there are also, I think there are three other guys that he played with. Their kids are there playing at that high school, and so he's going to get a chance to coach some of his friends' kids. But I just think, like, man, when you have that cachet of saying, who's your coach?
Right.
Ed Reed. That's pretty cool.
Think about
that's pretty cool.
I know, because you obviously, your experience in Texas was a bit different than mine in Long Island. But, yeah, I had a guy that looked like Hulk Hogan, Coach Peterson, with black hair, smoking Marlboros. You got Ed Reed.
What
is Shambles the Bulldogs, right? If I got it right? I want to kick off the Chambleans. But anyway, how neat is that?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, and you know, again, instruction is great, to have somebody in your ear and you know, helping you develop like that. And I remember Ed Reed wanted to coach in college, Mike. He was this close.
Right.
And then that thing fell apart because they didn't have the resources to do the job.
Historically, black colleges, universities struggling in that department after doing the Deion thing, kind of get his stamp on. Was it Bethune-Cookman?
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Is that right?
Yeah. And then he stepped away. So either way, congratulations, Ed, man. And he's a big cigar guy, so I always down with Ed. Hey, man, coming up, we are going to hear from our man Mark Raimondi. We've been talking a lot today about defensive coordinator Jimmy Lake, let go after one season, and also Jay Rogers. And I said this, that one's the one that's kind of under the radar with defensive line, because we have a lot of young defensive line men that we've either drafted or haven't yet come into their own, Mike. Part of this is development and getting the best out of these guys. So the Jay Rogers thing doesn't go unnoticed for me, but I get it. Jimmy Lake, failure in the last game, certainly. Communication issues. We were statistically one of the worst defenses. When we talk about not only the sacks, we're giving up 25 points per game, 23rd scoring defense,
right.
20th in yards per play. I mean, like all the things that you go, hey, this is what we got to be better at. We were not.
No, there were moments in time where the pass rush got amped up and ramped up. I mean, like the defense individual plays, you know, Troy Anderson had the pick six against the Saints. We had a special team score in that game. This one where the defense bailed you out. And then there were other games. To me, if ever there was a game which was kind of like the quintessential disaster for the Falcons, it was that Minnesota game where the defensive backs are falling over each other. It just looked pathetic. I mean, it was almost like a redo of when Taylor Heinicke was with the Washington WTFs, remember, and had like 20 seconds to throw the ball downfield that beat us. Yeah, that's like Jimmy Lake at the end of the day had never been a defensive coordinator in the NFL. Now, Zach Robinson coming off the Sean McVay tree, we thought that was kind of a no-brainer. But you and I, if you go back, you can look at, we have the receipts on this. Nothing against Jimmy Lake. We just didn't know who he was. And we didn't know Zach either, but we know Zach's pedigree. Jimmy Lake had gotten fired in Washington. So maybe next time, even though you're a veteran head coach and Raheem, your second go around, do you really put yourself on a spot when you bring in two guys who never done the job before as your OC in DC?
I get giving him an opportunity. I said this earlier. I don't have any problems with that. People deserve a chance to prove they can do it. This is where I actually tip my cap to the Falcons. They didn't stay the course. This is not a situation where they went, okay, we're gonna be better next year. Everybody saw it. We're not that good there. The coaching was not great. We got to do a better job. So at least they moved on, Mike. But again, I was not looking for a scapegoat. I think this was simply he didn't do the job well enough, and now we see where this goes. But yeah, it wasn't that I didn't know who Jimmy Lake was. It was, this is your first time calling plays in the National Football League.
Right.
That, for me, that was always and will be continuing to be one big question when these guys get that opportunity.
Right.
You just don't know until you know. And I say that, we could talk about a plethora of coaches that have gotten chances, and you went, I don't think he's going to be any good, and they turn out to be really good. So he did not hear. It doesn't mean his coaching career is over, but I'm curious to see where we go. And the only thing I'm hoping for is experience. That job has to bring someone in, Mike. They got to get the guy who understands what he's trying to do and has done it.
Right. Now, I mean, you've got to fix the defense. And this goes back, and this is why, you know, if we're honest, Maybe the timing, okay, we were a little upset we had to wait till Thursday here in the gym. Maybe wait till Friday, and then everybody would be in the media room going, oh, by the way, why'd you fire your defensive coordinator? What didn't happen? How much of this is on you, general manager, for not stocking the defense with players who actually do their jobs, whether it's corners or linebackers or, you know, edge rushers? Do you have a philosophy? Are we going to pivot to a 3-4? I know that's maybe for Raheem Morris from a 3-4 to a 4-3, because we certainly don't have the horses for a 3-4. You know, I mean, these are questions I'd like the general manager to answer. But, you know, the general manager speaks on Thursday. Saturday, you do the news dump, and the D.C. gets got. That's a bit of a dysfunctional franchise to me, man. But that's just my two cents worth.
I think the work that's going to be done to get the right guy in here, whether it's name value or not, and I know a lot of you guys are caught up in the brand names. Oh, it's got to be solid. It's got to be this. That doesn't matter to me. They can go get Mike. The Green Bay Packers went and got a guy out of college this year, and they did a really good job. It doesn't matter if it's that, you know, route that you might want to go, or if it's in the NFL, or it's currently somebody that's on a team right now that you go, hey, he's got a great relationship with, and therefore he trusts him. That's fine. All I know is we're 1 year in, and you're firing defensive coordinators.
Yeah, well, you know,
1 year in.
This goes back to the new NFL. No one gets 3 years or 4 years. The idea of like the Smith family and like, you know, or you know, even or Arthur in the older days, that just doesn't fly. But this goes back to when we blew the 6-3 start to the season. And yes, some of these things are unprecedented, even by the crazy star-crossed history of the Atlanta Falcons, for Kirk Cousins to look like, you know, he's going to be, you know, the comeback player or whatever, and then the wheels fall off. But you had to be making moves, man. You don't have, no one has time. I don't know if I'm Arthur Blank and I'm 82, or I'm a Falcon fan since 98, or guys who had tickets since Fulton County. Who's got time to watch this? And Raheem's not a rookie coach, okay? He's been a head coach. He's making rookie coach mistakes in how he staffed it, in how he managed the games. The general manager can't build a defense, but we're going to roll another season of this out. So even though some people are saying, oh, it's so unfair, no, it's not unfair. These guys aren't working for free. You guys, that's when I get back to this. Oh, God, you were satisfied with another year of that at defense, Carl? A change had to happen.
And it did. 404-726-0929. We're coming back. You're going to hear from Mark Raimondi. We'll ask him about this. The timing I didn't like. I told you guys I would be disappointed in this because it didn't allow the general manager to address this in the big scheme of things. Now, he did address a lot of things last week, and I said this. I gave him credit. Mm-hmm. Terry Fontenot, you know, they owned it, how disappointed they were, how they failed the fans and all that. Great. But now, Mike, you know, you get to go through this process, and it's like, okay, we don't get to talk to you until when? So that part of
right.
it for me,
right.
for me, was disappointing. Nevertheless, I'm glad they just didn't stay the course, and that's the good news.
Yeah, I mean, we got a good thing. Everybody's excited about Penix. You got one job this year. If they're satisfied, we'll ask Mark Raimondi about the offensive line, because the only other thing I could think of, Carl, would maybe be something to do with the old line to protect Penix. Everything else has got to be about getting the quarterback on the ground.
Yeah, we'll talk to him next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Joining us right now is a guy that covers our Atlanta Falcons for ESPN, Mark Raimondi. And Mark, it's funny because we just spoke with you last week about all the things that were going down with the front office and Terry Fontenot's conversations, and as soon as we get done with that, boom, they fire the DC and they fire defensive line coach Jay Rogers. Tell us what you know as of right now and where this is with the search for our new DC.
Yeah, this all kind of came down on Saturday, and it was I think it was a huge surprise. As we talked about last week, guys, when Raheem Morris did his kind of end of season wrap up press conference, he was asked about changes, and his answer was changes are inevitable. You know, changes happen every offseason. I think a lot of people, if they were reading between the lines, it felt a lot like his press conference right before they named Michael Penix Jr. as the new starter quarterback. So it almost was like he was telegraphing something to come, and that ended up being the firing of Jimmy Lake, defensive coordinator, and Jay Rogers, like you said, the defensive line coach. And I think, you know, I think if you're fans, if you're a Falcons fan, I think what this says to you is that this is accountability, right? This is something that they saw. They saw this was not working. We all watched the defense this year. It was not up to par in most games. There was improvement after the bye, but for the most part, not a very good defense. And they took action. And now, you know, the search will commence to get a new defensive coordinator in the building.
Does it matter? We were just talking about Robert Saleh, Mark, you know, 4-3, 3-4-ish. I mean, does any of that matter? I mean, certainly the cupboard is a bit bare. We just don't seem to have guys who can get the quarterback on the ground.
Yeah, I mean, I think everything's on the table. I'm sure, you know, Raheem Morris is a longtime defensive coach, and he has his own vision, and I think he probably likes someone who would align with that vision, whether that's someone from, you know, the Sean McVay, Shanahan coaching tree, or someone that he has experience with in his career, maybe someone like a Jeff Ulbrich, who was here, you know, at one point. Those are all guys that I could see, you know, being in the mix. But, yeah, like you said, it's a defense that would not – a complete overhaul would not be completely out of the question.
So, with that said, let's talk about the D-line coach, because I think that's a big deal. As I said, it's kind of under the radar because we were all talking about Jimmy Lake. But Jay Rogers being let go – mm-hmm. The D-line needs to improve. Now, again, we've got to get, you know, some better players. But at the end of the day, I also think there has to be development with all these young guys we have, Mark.
Agreed. And I think a red flag is someone like Brandon Dorlus, who a lot of people coming out of the draft, you know, yeah, third-day pick, but a guy that at Oregon played a very high level. And people thought that at least by maybe the second half of the season, he'd be a guy who would be in the rotation, right? And that did not end up happening. I think he played 2 games, you know, was inactive most weeks, was not injured. And then a guy like, you know, Rook Arororo, who was injured, and obviously that was a setback, but I don't think he was also someone that developed as much as they would have liked. And we definitely saw signs of that, right? We definitely saw promise there. But I think people thought that he would have been further ahead, right? He was inactive for the early part of the season as well.
Right.
So I don't know if that's necessarily on Jay Rogers, but obviously that was something that the front office and Raheem Morris saw that was not, you know, not up to the standard that they wanted.
It's a Mark Ramadi from ESPN.com. Not Jimmy Lake's fault that some of the guys they brought in can't stay healthy. To your point, you just mentioned, we just spent some time last segment talking about, you know, what do we have with Troy Anderson? You know, and how does he fit in this? Is this guy ever going to be able to stay? I mean, a silly question. Can he stay healthy?
You know, it's funny. After that Saints game, you know, here at Mercedes-Benz, where, you know, he's literally the NFC defensive player of the week. He's got a pick six, and he looks like a guy that can change games from the inside linebacker position, right? I mean, you guys watched that game. And he really does not play the rest of the season. I mean, that's a lot of bad luck. But when he's out there and healthy, which he was not when he came back, which led him to going back to, you know, to going on IR to end his season. When he is healthy, he can be a force in the middle of the field. He's got great speed. He's a great athlete. And man, you know, there were times this year where they needed a guy that with that kind of sideline to sideline speed like Troy Anderson, because you know, that was an issue, right? Mm-hmm. Speed was definitely an issue, especially in the middle of the defense. So. Who knows? You know, it's like he re-injured his leg late in the year, and is he going to be ready for OTAs, for training camp? I mean, it's 2 years now where he's missed most of the season. So he is a hard guy to rely on, but when out there, he can be, you know, a force.
Yeah, I was just looking at Troy Anderson, and again, I need to double-check these numbers, but he's only played in 26 games in the last 3 years.
Yeah, 9 games last two.
Yeah, 2-23 and 7-24. So, but he did play 17-22. 22 seems like a long time ago, and that's part of the problem. We are talking with our man Mark Ramadi, ESPN Falcons reporter, as we talk about the news that came down over the weekend, guys. And as we move forward in this offseason now, you know, part of getting this right is getting the right defensive coordinator. Is there somebody with the names that are being thrown around that you feel like would be, as of what we know right now, a good fit? You know, whether it's Saleh, Jeff Ulbrich, Ryan Nielsen, who was here. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's being thrown around out there. As I said, some of this is misdirection because I don't think all these guys are real candidates. But nevertheless,
right.
Do you like any of the names that you're hearing?
I mean, I feel like a guy like Saleh is kind of like the A-list candidate, right? You know, he's got experience as a head coach. He was a great defensive coordinator in San Francisco, but I'm just not sure if he ends up here. He doesn't really have like a direct connection to Raheem Morris or the Falcons. So I think there's probably more realistic options out there. Maybe even someone like a Dennis Allen. You know, he doesn't necessarily have a connection to Morris, but he's from Atlanta. You know, his father played for the Falcons. Maybe not the greatest head coach in the world, right? But pretty darn good as defensive coordinator for a long time, Dennis Allen. Someone like that, you know, someone like a Brandon Staley. you know, someone who has that experience. Jimmy Lake did not have experience as a defensive play caller, you know. That's just the fact of the matter. He was not a defensive coordinator. He was the head coach at Washington. He was an assistant head coach with the Los Angeles Rams. He never had a defensive coordinator role, and that is a tough, you know, a tough job to, you know, pick up on a team that where the expectations were that they would make the playoffs, and they did not.
Talking with Mark Ramondi, guys, from ESPN, focusing on the defense because Jimmy Lake gets got in a slow news cycle dump on a Saturday. He's with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. On the offensive side, I thought that, you know, there were certain limitations to Cousins, and then he got good, and we'll never understand what the hell happened there in the middle. But what grade would you give Zach Robinson based on what he had to deal with?
That's a tough one because there was so much change, when I say change, I mean like you had good Kirk Cousins at the beginning of the season, first nine games. You had inexplicably not good Kirk Cousins right in the middle of the season. Then you had Michael Penix Jr. So there was a lot of change in what they wanted to do. I would probably give. I'd probably give him like a C+ or a B- Zach Robinson, honestly. Mm-hmm. I don't think he did poorly. It was his first year as a play caller. I think that you saw at times, especially when Penix took over, some of the creativity. And look, some of that backfired, right? Some of the creativity backfired. But you could see a little bit more. It feels like Penix fit the offense that he wanted to run more than Kirk Cousins did because of there was just no mobility with Kirk Cousins. Even when he was good, there was no mobility, and Penix was able to get out of the pocket more. They ran more bootleg. They ran more play action. I think he's going to end up being a pretty darn good offensive coordinator and play caller.
And just as a follow-up, the offensive line, does it say static? Do they try to improve? I know McGarry is the blind side now technically in the center position.
You know, I think that they really like their offensive line and where it is. And there are some guys on the line that have their limitations. But the fact is that they're a very tight-knit group as human beings as well as players. You know, Dwayne Ledford is a very good offensive line coach. And that room is so close. It's so tight. There's a rapport there that you can't that's kind of – the rapport is more than the sum of the parts. So even though maybe some of the guys on the line are not going to be all pro – they gel together well as a group. And you even saw that when guys like, you know, Ryan Neusel came in and Storm Norton and like Kyle Hinton, you know, it was almost like it was interchangeable. Those guys came in and they did pretty well right off the bat. And that's because of that, you know, kind of what that room is. And I think that they want to keep that together.
Mark, great stuff, man. We appreciate you stopping by, and we'll keep our ear to the street, as they say, to find out what's going on. And make sure you check out Mark Ramondi at ESPN. Thanks so much again.
Thanks, gentlemen.